Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for these times that we're in. Father, get us ready. Help us to get rid of the flesh, Lord. Help us to walk that sanctification walk that you want us to walk. Fill us with your Holy Spirit every morning, every day, every afternoon, every evening. Keep us filled with your Holy Spirit so that we won't have any room of flesh to get in there. And Father, we ask that tonight you anoint everybody on here to share the things that you have them to share. Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you for when we do send the angels out, they go and they do the job and they do it quickly. And Father, we praise you for that. You've given us a bunch of angels to send out and do your work. And thank you for that, Lord. Be with us, guide us, direct us tonight. Let everyone be blessed by what's said tonight, that it would be a blessing to everybody. And not only that, that it would bring some revelations into our lives and understand about Psalms 23 and the parallels that we have with the shepherd. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. What about a prayer request? I want to pray right quick if y'all believe with me. Lord, I lift up Chris to you. He is an awesome prayer warrior. And Lord, I thank you that you've given him the words to say to this family member. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for giving him wisdom. Thank you for the power that backs him up. And we just praise you, Lord, for a wonderful deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, anyone else got a prayer request? Hey, Pat. Anybody got a testimony? I want to hear some good testimony. Can y'all hear that bell? Oh, you can? Turn that thing down.
Is that your phone?
Oh, that's the iPad. Hey, Dave. You slipped in here on me. No testimonies, no praise reports. How about anything else? Any comments? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I just want to say a big thank you for the Lord. We got our first rain last night.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Awesome. Father. Yeah, we got about... Oh, we got some rain too. I don't know, maybe 14 drops the other night.
John said it was 3/10 of an inch.
Well, you know, I had on mine, Leanna, 2.5, but David sat out there and watered the garden for a while, so I figured that's probably what that was. But that's good if that's what we got. Awesome. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to pray for Merle and Mai's little trip to see his family. Going to see Herbie, his brother-in-law that is in nursing home or whatever. We're going to leave tomorrow morning, and we're going to go and stay overnight tomorrow night and then visit a little bit more with his family. So I just want to pray for that. Father, I just ask you to bless our trip going and coming, and bless us and the family while we're there, Lord, and just more than anything, Lord, just want you to shine out of us your love to shine through us, Lord, and that that we would just speak grace and your love to all the family, and may we only speak what you guide us and direct us to speak, whatever that may be, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to go and visit. And we just ask you, Lord, well, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with Herbie. He's still doing well, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that before too long, he's going to be able to come home, and it's not going to be a fear for anybody, on anybody's behalf, for him to come home, Lord. And I just thank you, praise you for his complete healing. Thank you, Lord, that he is healed from cancer, that he's healed from Parkinson's and anything else, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this mighty miracle and testimony that he's going to have, that you're going to use him mightily. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful visit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let me get my professional microphone right here. All right, y'all can hear me good. See, amen.
That's a singing microphone.
Well, no, this is a talking one. My singing one is put up for special times. Y'all want to have a meeting, don't you? Instead of me running everybody out of here. Glory to God. All right. Well, tonight, just to warn everybody before we get started on it, we're going to go back into the shepherd's look at Psalms 23. So go hunt your books up while we're sitting here trying to get out some praise and testimonies here, praise reports and testimony. Let's see, we have one. Oh, I want to pray down. Let's see here. Let me think about it here just a second. Let's pray down attempt on President Trump's life tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against any attempts of Pelosi and the Democratic Party to assassinate President Trump while he's in Texas or anywhere as far as that goes, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that any kind of assassination attempts that it seems to be has been leaked out by mistake. And, Lord, we thank you for that. It's not by mistake. We know that you have disclosed it for us to pray against it. And, Lord, we're praying against that, any kind of assassination attempt or any kind of harm to anybody during Trump's rally. And, Lord, we thank you for that. The Patriots and the White Hats, you will expose it to them, who's done it, where it is, and what they need to do to squash it. And Father, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I wanted to add on to that. Father, we ask that you would just put in this gentlemen or whoever it is who wants to carry out this assassination attempts, put it in his mind just to forget about what he was going to do. Lord, just you know, you have that power just to kind of wipe the person's memory clean, wipe his memory clean, and you know, cause him to stop and say, what on earth am I doing here? You know, if that's whatever it is, whoever it is, Lord, put we just loose. We ask you just create chaos and confusion in the minds of those demons, you know, and in this individual or people, whoever it is, you know, their minds, that they wouldn't even know how to operate, that they would just, you know, their plans would fall apart, and they would even expose themselves so that the Secret Service, security, cops, whoever would be happy to arrest them and escort them out. So we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for any future attempts as well. Let this happen for any future attempts on President Trump or anyone else's life, you know, within his cabinet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for exposing this bunch. All right. Anybody else? I got to ask this question. Barry, is that Pike's Peak or what is that picture of?
That is Mount Hood.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Mount Hood. That's right where y'all are, isn't it? Somewhere close?
Yeah, it's probably 30 something miles from here.
Oh, really?
We have another Mount Adams that's much closer. It's probably 12, 13 miles away. It looks about the same. And when you're in the right place, you can see both of them at the same time. It's quite a sight.
Oh, I know. How many times you hiked up to the top of it?
I can't even count the number of times.
Yeah. Amen. I knew I was going to get an answer.
that's for the young and tough and in my opinion the not too bright to
Amen.
People get killed up there every single year, you know. I mean, it's multiple.
Well, it's dangerous, man.
Every year.
Yeah, it's dangerous. My goodness, you could fall off one of them cliffs up there, for goodness sake.
Oh, it's
the rope might break.
Yeah, a lot of rocks and ice falling down, big, you know, car sized rocks come, you know, falling down and, you know, smush people, and there's hydrogen sulfide gas coming out. That, you know, that volcano is not dormant. It's got some activity, earthquake activity. And it's always putting out toxic gas and stuff. So not the best place for recreation, in my opinion.
Yeah, it wouldn't be for me either. It's good to look at from a distance, right?
It's beautiful. It really is. I see it almost every day that the skies are clear. It's beautiful.
Well, that's cool. Mount Hood. Okay, yeah. I'd forgotten about that mountain up there. I've seen, we were going to go up on Pike's Peak one time back in 1960, when I went out to Colorado Springs on the Boy Scout Jamboree, the golden anniversary of the Boy Scout Jamboree back then. And, it had a snowstorm up there, and I told him then, I said, well, if it's got a snowstorm up there, I ain't got no business up on top of that thing anyway.
Yeah. Weather changes mighty fast up there. I gotta show you something.
Yeah. Malcolm, is that you? Go ahead, Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. It is me. Yeah, I was just going to say, when I years ago when I went up Hood, it does stink like well,
hang on just a second. Hang on just a second. I recognize that. Let me get you up on speaker view. Let's see here. That's the 50th, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is from 1960. Same year you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, were you out there too?
That was my brother. I hope he doesn't see this. He'll be looking for it.
Well, they ain't no telling what that thing's worth.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It could be. But that's the real deal.
Yeah, we saw President Eisenhower tooling through there in a Cadillac convertible. Sure did. Boy, you've had that all these years?
Yep.
I'll be darned.
It's still in excellent shape, too.
I see it is. I don't know where mine got off to. Oh, my boy, that brings back a lot of memories. Yep, it does. Colorado Springs. We went to see, through Kansas, the Garden of the Gods in Colorado. gosh, I don't know what all in places we went to out there, but it was a lot of fun. It was good to get away from Mama. You know who I'm talking about? But we had a great scoutmaster, and him and his brother took us out there. They was real good. We had a good trip. So much for the scouts, the Boy Scouts. I got busted. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when I went up Hood years ago, got up to the, it doesn't smell going up there, and it's a nice, kind of tiring, but because it's 14,000 feet over that. But up near the top, before you get to the top, there's this place where, when I was there, it was nice and sunny, and a lot of people that had hiked up there were, you know, lounging around on the snow and the sun. Everything's was snowy when we were up there. But yeah, that colander or whatever they call it, where the it was really steep going down into it, and there was the terrible sulfur gas coming out of there. And it's so steep, it's almost like if you got falling, you could end up rolling all the way to the bottom. But anyway, when you go to
the
top.
Malcolm, tell me you didn't go off in that thing.
No, I looked. I just looked down in there. Anyway, but to get to the top, then it gets really, really steep. We had ice axes. I think we used them a little bit, but and crampons. It's very steep. But we had to put on helmets because if you get up there too late in the day, then ice blocks. Well, we left it in the dark. But anyway, the ice blocks were coming down, and you never knew when they were going to come down and hit you on the head. So I was kind of watching up to see if there was anything heading our way. But we had stuff flying by us quite a bit. But we didn't get hit, though.
Was that fun?
Yeah, I was disappointed because I felt like I felt like it wasn't like the Himalayas, and we just got up there and we were at the top and that was it. I thought, well, isn't there anything more? Because I was used to, you know, the really high peaks around Everest, that area.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, nice view though.
Yeah. If it quits having green grass on it, I ain't going up there. Well, that's good, Malcolm. I'm glad somebody does that. I got one question for you about that hike up there. Did you see any garbage that people left behind?
You mean Mount Hood?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that. I don't remember seeing any, but there's so much snow, snow falls, and it would cover most anything.
Does snow stay on it year round?
Yeah, up near the top. Yeah.
Well, why would you want to go up there? It's cold, man.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's cold. But you get hot when you're going up.
Oh, no.
And coming down was a blast because we got some garbage bags. I didn't have skis with me. The guy I was with had skis, but you put a garbage bag and kind of hold it up between your legs. And people had done this so much, there was this chute that was almost a foot deep, maybe 2 feet in some places. And you just get in that chute and you start screaming down the mountain so fast your ears start popping. You just have to be careful because you get going so fast, you know, if you lose it, lose control. Could be kind of dire consequences.
Yeah. Huh. Do you have an anchor when you go that you can throw out and slow down?
I don't know. I just use my feet.
Use your feet? Okay. I'd rather water ski. It's a lot warmer. Okay, it's that. I've never been mountain climbing, so I don't. And there's another chapter of that verse. I ain't going either. It's too cold up there. Okay, Pat, go ahead. Y'all are used to that up north. Y'all are used to that cold weather. I ain't used to it. I ain't going to get used to it either.
So, Malcolm, were you hiking up on the glacier?
Is there a glacier? I don't know if there's a glacier up there.
Well, there's the top of the mountain is snowbound all year long.
Stays. Right, yeah.
Matter of fact, last time I heard, they were trying to get summer skiing up there on the glacier.
Oh, my goodness.
But this was, I just heard that. I don't know if they ever did it or not. That's where I learned to ski, was on that mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, which of the ski things, I mean, there's a couple of them. There's Timberline, which is probably not as good as the other one is.
Timberline was the one I went to. I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah, well, there's another one that has a lot of, well, probably shouldn't get off on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But
and John ever heard of Sonny Bono? oh, my.
So, okay. What I wanted, actually, when your prayers, Michael, about a possible assassination attempt, I was praying specifically about that. And I mean, I prayed exactly the same thing today. And the Lord led me to a scripture. I just looked it up. I didn't look it up at the time. He just gave me an example. And it was more based upon not only the power of prayer, but the power of God's protection. And I was thinking of this scripture. Matter of fact, I'll read the. It was the scripture about. When is actually the first scripture? Let me just read it. It's in Luke, Luke in chapter 4, 16, verse 16. And it's the example of when he went into the church there, synagogue. Yes, it is. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered, and as custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this the Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thine own country.' Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." I'm just going to skip on down to the part that the Lord showed me. I'm just giving you that for context. And they were all, after they heard his next few sentences there, they were all filled with wrath in the synagogue. And they, as they heard these things, and they rose up, cast him forth out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. And then the next verse, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And I was just picturing that example there of what happened in my mind when you put it in, realistically, you had a group of people, maybe 10, 15 men at least, strong men that were hauling him outside, out there to the outside of the brow of the hill, and they were going to cast him off of that. And then all of a sudden, he went his way. And we all know that those men didn't automatically just decide that, well, you know what, we repent. We shouldn't be tossing people off the side of the hill. They were probably strong, very had their hands on him and everything. They're getting ready. The anger and the viciousness and everything coming out exactly like what we're seeing in the mainstream media and in Congress right now. And they were going to kill him. And I think he either became invisible or their eyes were blinded to him or something happened. I know that if Jesus just walked away, he probably walked, didn't it say he passed through the midst of them? Well, how would you actually pass through the midst of 15 angry people that are, you know, grabbing onto you, you know, to toss you over the side of the hill? So I'm not quite sure what happened, but I was reminded of that the time after Jesus resurrected and he popped back into the room where the disciples were at, but it said he just, I think it, he must have passed through the wall or passed through the door or something. It sounded like he just walked right through the wall. And I believe he did the same thing here on the hill. He walked right through those people. They just lost their awareness of where he was at. And so I was thinking about that. Thinking about that, and then of the protection that we have on us is not able to be overcome because it comes from God. It comes from God saying, "No, you will not pass here. You do not have the right to do that," and that's it. The devil or whatever cannot touch you. And I just think that sometimes I have to set and I have to think about that there is a barrier around me and around us simply because of the word of God, of God's word speaking forth. No, you can have this, you can't have that. And so I don't know. I thought about that. And after I read that, I started praying for President Trump in this situation and casting down those. I prayed that it would be exposed and that those in his security that are taking care of his security and those that are taking his counselors around him would be aware of the situation, would take it out. But I guess I was just thinking in those terms today of just how great and how comforting it is to be resting in God's kingdom in this time. And I guess I kind of lose track in talking to other people and realizing that there isn't that foundation of peace in the majority of the people that you talk to. And it's something that that peace, that that resting in that fact that God has you in His hand is it's miraculous. It's contrasting with the agitation and fear that that society is constantly in these days. And if you listen to TV and the radio for any length of time, the your only way out of that is depression. So, but anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. I believe he was translated out of the, he was translated into a spiritual form, and because he did go through them, you know, he walked through them. Okay, that's good, Pat.
Well, let me ask you something. You say he was translated to a spiritual form. Was that what happened when he entered in through the wall with the disciples? Because he asked them, they were freaked out, and he said, give him a piece of fish to eat or something. So you know that flesh, and you know, I don't remember what he said at that time. Maybe somebody can look it up, but he mentioned that a spirit doesn't eat. So what do you think was what happened in the translation there? Michael?
Yeah. I was listening to something else, I'm sorry. Well, he can apparently he can do whatever he wants to because he has faith, right? And if he's got all faith, yeah, Barry. Barry's going to get me out of this one.
Well, he was in his glorified body when he went to visit the disciples. And that's all powerful. You know, a lot of the human things had gone away. And he had that glorified body, which is better, which can maybe do things like this.
What about in this one?
That's what I'm saying. You know, in his glorified body. The one on the
hill? The one in Luke. Yeah, what he's talking about. But he passing through the midst of them went his way.
Yeah, it's, you know, probably translated. I'm cool on that.
Yeah, Leah.
But don't forget he ate fish and bread when he went into that room.
Went into what room?
With the
disciples. Oh, you're talking about, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, we're talking now.
He was in his glorified body, but he was hungry and he ate.
Yeah, but he could do things. Too. Yeah. Well, he did a lot of things.
Yes, he
did. Remember what John said. John said, you can't write that stuff down in the books in the world, all the books in the world. The stuff that
didn't he, when he walked through the midst of the men, he had to be walking by faith, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
When he walked across the water to his disciples in the boat, I can't do that. At least I haven't. Last time I tried, it didn't work out too well. But there's a, you know, so there's a lot of things that Jesus did by faith that kind of matches what happens in the glorified body, I would think. Anyway, I'll get off.
Well, one thing, it wasn't his time to be and place to die. They wasn't going to throw him over that cliff because that's not what God had already ordained for him to do. And so, you know, I don't know. We can speculate. That's about it, right? I think what I believe, just me, I just believe that the Lord put him in a spirit form where they couldn't see him. And he walked out of there right through them, right in amongst them.
Well, and nothing's hard for the Lord, God, to do, so it should take us where he can do whatever he wants. We just see the final results of what happened. And we may not understand it, but when we come into the fullness of Christ, we will.
Well, just think of this. When, if you know, we talked last week about Dimitri Dudeman, and there were times that they would open up a Bible book and wouldn't even see what it was. They'd look at a book that he had that was a Bible, and the guards didn't even understand what it was and put it back in there and let him go on. God can do anything.
Was that Brother Young? Yeah, he passed right through the guards when he left the prison. Just walked right out.
Who was that?
Brother Young.
He
walked right out of prison. Walked right past people. Doors opened up and everything.
Well, so did Paul and Barnabas, didn't they?
Yeah.
So did, yeah, but the angels did that for them. So maybe the angels just like pushed them aside a little bit, and they thought it was just the crowd pushing them aside.
I bet there were some angels around Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just pushing the people aside, these angels, and they thought it was this their buddy beside them, just nudging them a bit or something, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, Joe.
A testimony of Demetri Dudeman sounds like, not quite like Corey Tinboom, survivor of the Nazi. What was she, Danish? I forget where. European, but she went over to Russia to minister to people. I'll have to pull up that video and show it, but it's, I think some angels guarded a bag of Bibles she had. You know, they were checking all the luggage and all that stuff. She went through someplace, and, you know, the police or whatever were searching all their luggage, you know, and she prayed, God, you know, protect these Bibles, you know, they need to get out. And I think it was some angels that kind of covered it so that the guard just walked right by it, just didn't even notice the bag and just walked right by it. So supernaturally, he, you know, protected this. So, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that's like Sandy and Jeff went out to California that time with 24 Sovereign God books. And gave out 45 of them or something like that. I forget the actual number. And the Lord had told her, said, just put them in the drawer over there and put them over back behind you, the seat back there. And when you need them, just go get what you need. And that's what they did. She tells Jeff, said, Jeff, don't look in there. Just reach in there and grab me two more books. And they kept doing it and kept doing it. God can do anything, can't he? And they gave out, they figured out, I think it was 40, I don't know, it's over, well over 40 books, and all they had taken was 20, I believe it's 24, it might have been less than that, but that's what I remember. That's been a few years ago, but they did that. And they gave it to a lot of people that were Catholics, and some of them that... some of her kin folks who were, you know, she was adopted at a young age and adopted into a Mexican family. And she knew Spanish, and she had a lot of Spanish-speaking friends out there. And they'd haul them down there to Mexico, and they got them down there in Mexico. And it's just awesome what's going on, you know, because of that little group. But anyway, that's another miracle that God did. He can do anything, can't he? All we got to do is believe. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to believe him, trust him for everything. Sometimes we get all mixed up with our things that are going on in the natural around us. And we wonder where God is, and he's standing right there and said, I'm putting you through this trial for a reason. Now, get after it, boy, you know, or girl, or whatever. You know, die. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to die. He wants me to die. And that's good. That's a good thing. When we die, you're close to God. All right, anybody else? How many of you know that dying to the flesh is fun? Don't raise your hand. They get out of here. Just fun. Dave Nelson. No, it's not fun, but it's necessary, isn't it? It's a necessary thing that we have to go through. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Okay. Lord has warned me about some things that I've been doing, so I'm going to have to just keep my mouth shut.
Hey, did you guys ever hear about the assassination attempt on Trump?
Well, some different things have slipped out in Uncle Joe's speech yesterday, and he mentioned something about the 17th. Just wait till the 17th, I believe is what he said, and then he caught himself and put his hand up to his mouth and went on to something else. I think Pelosi said something to that effect also. It may not be anything, but we're going to be ahead of the game, two steps ahead. God's got his angels out there around that man now, and we don't have to worry about it, do we? Because we know that God's going to protect President Trump. I don't know how many.
Elijah,
go ahead, Dave.
Elijah Cummings died. Was that today?
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. What was that? Did he die?
Yeah.
Or did?
Maybe their witchcraft went on reverse.
Or did he die like Herbert Walker Bush?
Who knows? He died in a hospital, I think.
Huh?
He died in a hospital.
Could be. Well, you know, that's my problem.
I read about he's been having difficulties since, I don't know. He hasn't been back to Congress since September.
Don't know. I don't know. So. You can believe anything but meat frying and money rattling. That's one thing that you can do. You can hear anything, excuse me. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on? Okay, 260. Y'all got your books? That's Larry. Hey, Larry. Okay, I think we're on chapter 4. We're on chapter 5. No, we're on chapter 4, Joe. 5? 4. Yeah, we're on 4.
Are we? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. You trying to get through us, aren't you? Okay. All right. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let me get some more room here. Good gracious, I got stuff stacked up on this thing. Looks like somebody knows what he's doing is up here.
Michael, who is the author of that?
Philip Keller. W. Philip Keller.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He leads me beside quiet waters. Y'all just interrupt me because I'm going to have my head down. Maybe I can do it like this.
I'm going to tell Pat that there is a PDF one online we found.
Did you send him a link?
Joe had one up earlier.
Okay. This is a good chapter. I enjoyed this one. He leads me beside quiet waters. Although sheep thrive in dry, semi-arid country, they still require water. They're not like some of the African gazelles, which can survive fairly well on the modest amount of moisture found in natural forage. It will be noticed that here again, the key or the clue to where water can be attained lies with the shepherd. It is he who knows where the best drinking places are. In fact, very often, he's the one who, with much effort and industry, has provided the watering places. And it is to these spots that he leads the flock. But before thinking about the water sources themselves, we do well to understand the role of water in the animal body and why it is so essential for its well-being. The body of an animal, such as a sheep, is composed of about 70% water on an average. This fluid is used to maintain normal body metabolism. It is a portion of every cell, contributing to its turgidity and normal life functions. Water determines the vitality, strength, and vigor of the sheep and is essential to its health and general well-being. If the supply of water for an animal drops off, bodily desiccation sets in. This dehydration of the tissues can result in serious damage to them. And it can also mean that the animal becomes weak and impoverished. Any animal is made aware of water lack by thirst. The thirst indicates the need of the body to have its water supply replenished from a source outside itself. Now, just as the physical body has a capacity and need for water, so Scripture points out to us clearly that the human personality, the human soul, has a capacity and need for the water of the Spirit of the eternal God. When sheep are thirsty, they become restless and set out in search of water. And if not led to the good water supplies of clean, pure water, they will often end up drinking from the polluted potholes, where they pick up such internal parasites as nematodes, liver flukes, or other disease germs. Ew. And in precisely the same manner, Christ, our good shepherd, made it clear that thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied when their capacity and thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched by drawing on himself. In Matthew 5 and 6, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled or satisfied." At the great feast in Jerusalem, he declared boldly, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." To drink in spiritual terminology simply means to take in, or to accept, or to believe. That is to say, it implies that a person accepts and assimilates the very life of God in Christ to the point where it becomes a part of him. The difficulty in all of this is that men and women who are thirsty for God and who do have a deep inner sense of searching and seeking, who are in quest of that which will completely satisfy, often are unsure of where to look or really what they're looking for. Their inner spiritual capacity for God and divine life is desiccated, and in their dilemma, they will drink from any dirty pool to try and satisfy their thirst for fulfillment. Okay, has anybody got any comments on what we just went over?
Well, let's look at that last paragraph over again.
Huh?
I want to look that last paragraph over again real quick before we go on. It says the difficulty of this is that to drink spiritually, terminology means to take in, to accept, or to believe. That is to say, it implies that a person accepts or assimilates the very life of God in Christ to the point where it becomes a part of him. Okay, we know that. The difficulty in all this is that men and women who are thirsty for God, who do have a deep inner sense of searching and seeking, who are on a quest of that which will completely satisfy, often are unsure of where to look, okay, or really what they're looking for. Okay.
Yeah, Missy.
Before what Dave was reading, I can't remember what it was, but what came to my mind was, you know, starts looking for water when its body starts, you know, it starts getting thirsty, it starts looking for water. Well, I was just thinking, you know, how, you know, we start getting dissatisfied and start getting thirsty and just, you know, and want to fill up that thirst, you know, it's like, okay, go to the Lord. Don't go looking somewhere else to get satisfaction, to fill up this sense of needing of something. You know, you're just like, you have this dissatisfaction, or there's your need of something. Well, it always, you know, it always has to be the Lord. The Lord's the only one that can fill that dissatisfaction, you know. So it's, I just like that, just, it just really, that how just many really spoke to me. That really spoke to me.
How many times have y'all spoke to people in non-Pentecostal circles that they know there's something more? They know there's something more, and they're not satisfied with what they've got. There's a lot of people like that. And that's what he's talking about here. They're drinking from a dirty pool and they're not satisfied. They got liver worms or whatever what they call it.
I see where people are. They're drinking from a dirty pool.
Yeah.
But they haven't been smart enough to figure out that there's more to it yet, or the God hasn't got their attention yet. Because he got my attention. He got me out of there. I just knew something wasn't, you know, I needed more, I need something else. But, you know, it's like you have to make that, God has to pull you out, you know.
Well, you're correct in saying that, but we have to want the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We want to know what it is, you know. When I was in that Baptist church, when I first came to Jesus and I found out that God still heals, that was it for the Baptist for me, because I knew that they wasn't teaching the whole gospel. And the same way with y'all. Some of you came out of Baptist, some of you came out of Catholic, all of that stuff. When you found out there was clean water somewhere, you struck out after it, didn't you? Well, I did too. We got out of that dirty mess and went to another dirty mess, but it was cleaner than the last dirty mess you had. You know?
And I think you're definitely what looking for something that's going to satisfy what it is you think you got to find.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, like in our everyday lives, you know, it's like, okay, you're kind of like tired at the end of the day, you know, and it's like, it's so, but you, or maybe not necessarily tired, you just feel like you need something and you want to relax, and it's so easy. What is it so easy to do is just to go to the net, you know? It's so easy to do that. And, you know, I can say that for myself, but usually when I get on the net, I try and find music on YouTube or something, find something new, you know, or whatever. Sometimes it's just like I'm like shut down for the day almost. Like for me to sit and try and read the word at that point in the day is kind of like I'd put myself to sleep. So sometimes it's better just to even listen to something. Even if you fall asleep, at least you're listening to a Bible study or listening to an audio of the Bible, even listening to music, worship music or something, better than putting things of the world in you, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, just put on a David's Bible study. That's what I do, and I go right to sleep. And don't y'all go back to David and tell him this. Good gracious.
He knows it already.
This is on recording.
He knows I talk about him anyway. Do what, Dave?
Well, this is being recorded.
Yeah, no, you're right. That stuff goes in your spirit, even when you're sleeping. Spirit, the teachings get in there. Your spirit is not sleeping, it's still awake. You're right, Missy. Yeah, Joe, did you have something?
No, I was just going to add on what you said about that, you know. I mean, like when you figure out, hey, there's cleaner water out there, I got to go after that. Actually, I never even thought about it, you know, personally. You know, when I left that Baptist church and then I went to another Baptist church and I wound up in a cult. I think it was like I went from dirty water to dirtier water to just like beyond polluted water. And then I
went to the sewer, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I mean, the thought wasn't even there, clean water. I'm just thinking I need somewhere else. Maybe there's some clean water in here somewhere. And then it kind of dawned on me, okay, I need to stop looking in the dirty water. There's probably some clean water out here somewhere. I'll find it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
Amen. Well, the Lord did that to me. He had me go back to a Baptist church and I did some teaching in that Baptist church on faith, of all things. That preacher in there let me do that until he found out that while away from that church, the people wanted to know more about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit baptism. And some of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it got back to him. And boy, he throwed a fit up in the pulpit. He did. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, sometimes you wonder why God would let you go through all those places. But if you do look back, there's an experience there that you can have now.
Absolutely.
You know what is the truth here? What is the true glory of God? And that's a big help for you now, because you know what those people are like. You can minister to those people. Anyway.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Let's get out of the dirty water. St. Augustine of Africa summed it up so well when he wrote, "Oh God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching, till they find their rest in thee. All the long and complex history of earth's religions, pagan worship, human philosophy, is bound up with this insatiable thirst for God." David, when he composed Psalm 23, knew this. Looking at life from the standpoint of a sheep, he wrote, "He, the good shepherd, leads me beside quiet waters." In other words, he alone knows where the still, quiet, deep, clean, pure water is to be found that can satisfy his sheep and keep them fit. And that's, how many of you knew when you came to UBM that you found clean water? Because everything just started fitting, didn't it? Everything started fitting together. Glory to God. And I did. Boy, I mean, I said, who is this guy? You know? And man, just think about it. I know everyone have experienced the same thing I did. I knew these verses over there, and I knew them over there. I knew them up here. I knew them down here, but I couldn't put them together. And then when I heard David speak that first message, I said, my goodness, this old boy knows a little bit. And of course, you know, you were kind of insatiable then. You couldn't satiate yourself with just one lesson. You had to go through the whole thing that he had at the time, whenever it was. Then you went through it again. And then you went through it again. And then you went through it again until you knew that the man had heard from God. And that's that clean water.
You know, I was thinking something else. How many people have we listened to in the past trying to find something to satisfy us? When we finally came here, it's like, oh, how many times have you looked outside of here for other things? You keep on just coming back to this all the time you're here. you may wander a little bit to listen to other things, but you're always coming back to this. You stay with this.
Can I tell y'all a secret? Lord told, the Lord has said that when Dmitri Dudeman died, that David was the next prophet. I forget how it was worded, but he took over where Dmitri left off. He said, listen to him now. Now, first time I heard that was the other day, but came from a reliable source. Praise God. Okay. Where did I stop at? Okay, I got it. Generally speaking, water for the sheep came from three main sources: dew on the grass, deep wells, or springs and streams. Most people are not aware that sheep can go for months on end, especially if the weather is not too hot, without actually drinking, if there's heavy dew on the grass each morning. In other words, they can graze on that dew-infested grass and get all the water that they need on those good mornings like that. Sheep, by habit, rise just before dawn and start to feed. Or if there is bright moonlight, they will graze at night. The early hours are when the vegetation is drenched with dew, and sheep can keep fit on the amount of water taken in with their forage when they graze just before and after dawn. Now, what kind of a lesson is that for us? Somebody show me something here. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, I was just going to say, we've got a couple of horses, and if it's raining or if it's a lot of dew on the grass, they'll come back. We let them out in this larger field to eat. But when we bring them back, they'll come back. They'll just totally bypass the water trough, which is right on inside the gate there. And they don't even drink because they've gotten plenty out there. So it's pretty interesting because in dry summer months, they can drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they can. Well, what I saw in this paragraph was what we need to do is get up early in the morning and get that word, get that stream going in us and get that fresh water before the day. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, Missy.
It made me think of the song Endless Hallelujah, how the beginning of the song starts mm-hmm. and how the end of the song, how it ends.
How's it end?
In the morning when I rise to meet you, in the morning when I lift my eyes, you're the only one I want to cling to, you're the first thought on my mind. And then the end of the song is in the evening when I lay my head down, in the evening when I close my eyes, you're still the only one I want to cling to. You're the last thought on my mind. That's what came to me right away. Amen. That's
a good song. Yeah, that's a good one. Praise the Lord. Talking about just about what we're just talking about. Thank you, Lord. David's always said, he's always told me that You're coming along great if the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning is Jesus.
What was the name of that, Missy?
Endless Hallelujah.
Oh, it's what?
Endless Hallelujah.
Endless Hallelujah.
By Corey Asbury originally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I knew I'd heard it. Okay. All right, let's continue on unless somebody else got something. Of course, dew is a clear, clean, pure source of water. There's no more resplendent picture of still waters than the silver droplets of dew hanging heavy on leaves and grass at the break of day. The good shepherd, the diligent manager, makes sure that his sheep can be out and grazing on this dew-drenched vegetation. If necessary, it will mean he himself has to rise early to be out with his flock. On the home rancher or field, he will see to it that his sheep benefit from this early grazing. In the Christian life, it is of more than passing significance to observe that those who are often the most serene, most confident, and able to cope with life's complexities are those who rise early each day to feed on God's word. It is in the quiet early hours of the morning that they are led beside the quiet still waters where they imbibe the very life of Christ for the day. This is much more than mere figure of speech. It's a practical reality. The biographies of the great men and women of God repeatedly point out how the secret of the success in their spiritual life was attributed to the quiet time of each morning. There alone, still waiting for the master's voice, one is led gently to the place where, as the old hymn puts it, the still dews of his spirit can be dropped into my life and soul. Anybody know that song? Okay, I don't either. One comes away from these hours of meditation, reflection, and communion with Christ, refreshed in mind and spirit. How many of you do that? When you get up in the morning and you seek God and you want to hear his voice and he tells you the things that you want to hear, you know, man, you just got an excitement in your spirit for the rest of the day, don't you? I do. I don't know about y'all. But that's right. When you do that, when you seek God, and he tells you the things that you want to hear. You know, it doesn't make any difference. You know what it is. You just hear from God. The thirst is slaked, and the heart is quietly satisfied. And that's boy, you couldn't have said it any better way than that. The thirst is slaked, and the heart is quietly satisfied. You go out and you want to tell somebody about Jesus. In my mind's eye, I can see my flock again, the gentleness, stillness, and softness of early morning. Always found my sheep knee-deep in dew-drenched grass. There they fed heavily and contentedly. As the sun rose in its heart and its heat burned, the dewdrop from the leaves, the flock would retire to find shade. There, fully satisfied, and happily refreshed, they would lie down to rest and ruminate through the day. Nothing pleased me more. And I am confident this is the same reaction in my master's heart and mind when I meet the day in the same way. He loves to see me contented, quiet, at rest, and relaxed. He delights to know my soul and spirit have been refreshed and satisfied. But the irony of life and tragic truth for most Christians is that this is not so. They often try instead to satisfy their thirst by pursuing almost every other sort of substitute. For their minds and intellects, they will pursue knowledge, science, academic careers, vociferous reading, or offbeat companions. Is that right? Yeah, offbeat companion. But they are always left panting and dissatisfied. Some of my friends have been among the most learned and highly respected scientists and professors in the country. Yet about them, there is often a strange yearning, an unsatisfied thirst which all their learning and all their knowledge and all their achievements have not satisfied. To appease the craving of their souls and emotions, men and women will turn to the arts, to culture, to music, to literary forms, trying to find fulfillment. And again, so often, these are amongst the most jaded and dejected of people. Amongst my acquaintances are some outstanding authors and artists. Yet it is significant that to many of them, life is a mockery. They have tried drinking deeply from the wells of the world only to turn away unsatisfied, unquenched in their soul's thirst. There are those who, to quench this thirst in their parched life, have attempted to find refreshment in all sorts of physical pursuits and activities. They try travel, or they participate feverishly in sports. They attempt adventure of all sorts or indulge in social activities. They take up hobbies or engage in community efforts. But when all is said and everything has been done, they find themselves facing the same haunting, hollow, empty, unfulfilled thirst within. The ancient prophet Jeremiah put it very bluntly when he declared, "My people have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." It is a compelling picture. It is an accurate portrayal of broken lives, of shattered hopes, of barren souls that are dried up and parched and full of the dust of despair. Among young people, especially the beat generation, the recourse to drugs, to alcohol, to sexual adventure in a mad desire to assuage their thirst is a classic proof that such sordid indulgences are no substitute for the spirit of the living God. Mm-mm. These poor people are broken cisterns. Their lives are in misery. I have yet to talk to a truly happy hippie. Truly happy hippie. Their faces show the desperation within. And amid all this chaos of a confused, sick society, Christ comes quietly as of old and invites us to come to him. He invites us to follow him. He invites us to put our confidence in him. For he it is who best knows how we can be satisfied. He knows that the human heart, the human personality, the human soul, with its amazing capacity for God, can never be satisfied with a substitute. Only the spirit and life of Christ himself will satisfy the thirsting soul. Now, strange as it may appear on the surface, the deep wells of God from which we may drink are not always necessarily the delightful experiences we may imagine them to be. I recall so clearly standing under the blazing equatorial sun of Africa and watching the native herds being led to their owners' water wells. Some of these were enormous hand-hewn caverns cut from the sandstone formation along the sandy rivers. They were like great rooms chiseled out of the rocks with ramps running down to the water trough at the bottom. The herds and flocks were led down into these deep cisterns where cool, clear, clean water awaited them. But down in the well, stripped naked, was the owner baling water to satisfy the flock. It was hard, heavy, hot work. Perspiration poured off the body of the baler, whose skin glistened under the strain and heat of his labor. As I stood there watching the animals quench their thirst at the still waters, I was again immensely impressed by the fact that everything hinged and depended upon the diligence of the owner, the shepherd. Only through his energy, his efforts, his sweat, his strength could keep the sheep satisfied. in the Christian life, exactly the same applies. Many of the places we may be led into will appear to us as dark, deep, dangerous, and somewhat disagreeable. But it simply must be remembered that He is there with us in it. He is very much at work in the situation. It is His energy, effort, and strength expended on my behalf that even in this deep, dark place is bound to produce a benefit for me. Anybody got any comments? Okay. It is there that I will discover He only can really satisfy me. It is He who makes sense and purpose and meaning come out of situations which otherwise would be but a mockery to me. Suddenly life starts to have significance. I discover I am the object of His special care and attention. Dignity and direction come into the events of my life, and I see them sorting themselves out into a definite pattern of usefulness. All of this is refreshing, stimulating, invigorating. My thirst for reality in life is assuaged, and I discover that I have found that satisfaction in my Master. Praise be to God. Anybody got anything they want to say while I take a little break here? All right, I'm back. I noticed that y'all have a real good discussion while I was gone. Okay. All right, let's see. Does anybody got anything they want to comment on what we, yeah, Tim.
As you're reading a little bit, I was reminded thing about horses. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yeah.
People and sheep, you know, you can get them there, but they have to want it. Or, you know, there's nothing you can do to make them take in the word or the life, their desire. And that just came to my mind as you were reading that last thing.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was kind of wondering if we can take a little break for a prayer or something here right about now. Lord, you know us, you know where we're at. But Lord, even like it says in your word, we're your soldier. We have to continue to run the race. This was spoken by your apostle Paul. He continued this way, Lord. He knew a lot of stuff. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. He wrote about continuing to play the game also, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us, to keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Lord, I just ask that you keep us in that clean, clear, fresh, refreshing water. Lord, that's the only thing that keeps us going. Because it excites us every day when we get filled up with your Holy Spirit and we hear you talk to us and tell us the things that we needed to hear. And Father, we just praise you, glorify you, Lord, that in the days ahead, we're even going to hear you more clear. Lord, I tell you, I'm just so excited about what you're doing in your people. I'm so excited for what's happening. I know it looks like everything's gone to hell in a handbasket out there in the world, but in us, where you are residing in this temple, there's peace. And when we have peace, Lord, that's because you're there and you're ruling in this temple. And Father, we praise you for that and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for leaving that clear and clean and refreshing water going all the time and making us and putting in us a hunger for that clear, refreshing, cool water. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you.
And I had a good psalm given to me today from the Lord. And the psalm means song. Probably people know that.
Are you going to sing it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
No. No, I'm like you. I got that mic put away. I want to sing on. I can't find it. But what happened was kind of cool was I usually copy everything I get, you know, in the morning. I put it in a file for the day, and it carries on for the whole year. But when I copied this psalm in my file, the keep track of everything he gives me, it repeated part of the psalm. I mean, I didn't do that. It just did it. And so, and I thought, oh, what is that? And I looked it up. And that's what a chorus does. It repeats something again. That's what's called a chorus. When it's more than a few lines, it becomes a chorus. So this is a psalm, and it has a chorus in it too. He put the chorus in it. This is Psalm 107, if anybody wants to go there. And I got initially Psalm 107:1. So it, whenever he does that to me, he gives me the whole psalm to read. I'll give everybody a few minutes if you want to get there. The title is, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. It says, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed by the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the land of adversity, and gathered out of the lands from east and west, from north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. They found no city to live in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He led them by a straight way so that they might go to a city to live in. Let them praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with good. Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they had rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought them down, their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bonds in sunder. Let them praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Fools are afflicted because of their disobedience and because of their iniquities. Their soul abhors all kinds of food. They draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. He saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the pit. Let them praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. Those who go down into the sea, who do business in great waters, these see the Lord's works and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind and lifts up the waves. They mount up to the sky. They go down to the depths. Their soul melts away because of trouble. They reel back and forth and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He makes the storm a calm, so its waves are still. Then they are glad because it's calm, so he brings them to their desired haven. Let them praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works for the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him as seat of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, water springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land in a salt waste for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a desert into a pool of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry live, that they may prepare a city to live in. Sows
fields, plants vineyards, and reaps the fruits of increase. He blesses them so that they are multiplied greatly. He doesn't allow their livestock to decrease. Again, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in tactless waste. Yet he lifts the needy out of their affliction and increases their families like a flock. The upright will see it and be glad. All the wicked will shut their mouths. Whoever is wise will pay attention to these things. They will consider loving kindness of the Lord. And then the chorus again, he says, he turns a desert into pools of water and parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. But his blessing, by his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression and evil and sorrow, he pours contempt on the princes and makes them wander in tactless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all the wicked shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let them tend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen.
What was that last part you was reading?
Which part would that be?
The last part.
Whoever is wise, let them attend to the things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. That last line.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right, I got you.
What version of Bible is that?
This is probably the New Heart English Bible. It's from the ASV. It's just been given a little more modern language. Sometimes it might miss exact beat wording for it's pretty close.
It's very poetic anyway.
What's the name of it?
New Heart English Bible.
Okay.
You can get that one on eSword?
I think I went to another site that you can put it in eSword. I'll post the site. It's a site that makes translations available that are legal. That
give me the name of it.
New Heart English Bible.
English Bible.
Yeah, I think you can find. There's a few places you can find it in different, you know, places. Yeah. I think the New Heart English Bible might be available through eSword, but let me check. I do have another website I go to also that has things for eSword. It's legal stuff.
It's not on eSword. I'm looking at it right now.
All right, I'll post another site that you can go to. These guys put Bibles out. Just because eSword doesn't put it out doesn't mean that you can't put it in eSword. I mean, these Bibles are still public domain. So they do that too. I'll put that website up in a second.
Okay. Good gracious. I got too many books stacked up on this desk. Okay. Is that all? Is that everybody? Okay, let's continue on here. Of course, there is always a percentage of perverse people who will refuse to allow God to lead them. They insist on running their own lives and following the dictates of their own wills. They insist they can be masters of their own destinies, even if ultimately such destinies are destructive. They don't want to be directed by the Spirit of God. They don't want to be led by Him. They want to walk in their own ways and drink from any old source that they fancy might satisfy their whims. And they remind me very much of a bunch of sheep I watched one day, which were being led down to a magnificent mountain stream. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal clean between lovely banks of trees. But on the way, several stubborn ewes and their lambs stopped instead to drink from small, dirty, muddy pools beside the trail. The water was filthy and polluted, not only with the churned up mud from the passing sheep, but even with the manure and urine of previous flocks that had passed that way. Still, these stubborn sheep were quite sure it was the best drink obtainable. The water itself was filthy and unfit for them. Much more, it was obviously contaminated with nematodes and liver fluke eggs that would eventually riddle them with internal parasites and diseases of destructive impact. People often try this pursuit or that with the casual comment, "So what? I can't see that it's going to do any harm." Little do they appreciate that often there is a delayed reaction, and that considerable time may elapse before the full impact of their misjudgment strikes home. And then suddenly they are in deep trouble and wonder why. Does that bring to mind a parable in the New Testament to anybody? What about the five virgins? Five of them were ready. Five of them wasn't ready. And then they went running over to the five that was ready and said, "Oh, come on now, give us some of yours, you know." "No, you got to go get your own." We don't want to be in that band of five virgins that's not ready when the Lord comes. That's what really came to my mind when I read this. To offset these dangers and guard against them, God invites us to allow ourselves to be led and guided by His own gracious Spirit. Much of the emphasis and teaching of the Pauline epistles in the New Testament is that the child of God should not end up in difficulty. Galatians 5 and Romans 8 bring this out very clearly. Jesus' own teaching to His 12 disciples just before His death, given to us in John 14 through 17, points out that the gracious Holy Spirit was to be given to lead us into truth. He would come as a guide and a counselor, and always He would lead us into the things of Christ. He would make us see that the life in Christ was the only truly satisfying life. We would discover the delight of having our souls satisfied with His presence. It would be He who would become to us very meat and drink, that at His resurrection, overcoming life was imparted to me. By His Spirit, each day I would be refreshed and satisfied. Praise be to God. What do y'all think about that?
Sometimes after we go through like this, I'd like to be able to spend that time and go back through it again. You know, pick up other things that might come along the way. The first time I'm through, I don't always get everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what is today? Is today Tuesday? Today's Thursday, isn't it? This is Thursday. Next Tuesday, we're going in chapter 5. You know what I try to do sometimes when I got the time, and I'm on a mic time, is go through it and write little scripture notes, you know, in those places. And maybe we can all do that, and we'll come up with something next week on chapter 5. That'd be awesome.
That's our reading assignment. We have to read chapter 5 before we get here on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Read and study, meditate, and ask the Holy Spirit about chapter 5. That'd be awesome. I guarantee you, I'll tell you what, we'll come up with a lot of good stuff if you do that. I'm sorry I didn't bring that to everybody's attention before tonight, but I neglected it. But I'm telling you now, do that and let's see what happens. Leon, did you have something you wanted to share?
Well, I was thinking maybe we could read Galatians 5, like he mentioned Galatians 5 and Romans 8.
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be good.
I was just getting to it here. Well, Galatians 5 is pretty long, but anyway. Okay, so Galatians 5:1, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, ye are fallen away from grace. And this kind of reminds me of drinking that polluted water, you know, like he talked about there. For we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. We are returning. Ye were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence to you, word in the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then hath the stumbling block of the cross been done away. I would that they that unsettled you would even go beyond circumcision. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's an awful lot of words for one word. but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, that ye may not do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lust thereof. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. All right. Well, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Kind of sums it all up.
Absolutely.
We got time. We can read Romans 8.
Go ahead.
All right.
I try the new heart, but I'm not sure how some of the words will come out. They're going to be exactly like ASV. But you see how it's written. Life in the Spirit, says for a title. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free from the law of sin and death. I'm thinking of that one guy. Who was that? Put that disease in his hand.
Lake. That's John Lake.
John Lake. There he was. That's John Lake's testimony. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made him free from the law of sin and of death.
Made us all free.
Absolutely. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If it is so that the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Or is it children of God for you guys, ASV?
No, that's sons of God.
It says children here, but I'm thinking it is sons.
Yeah, it is. It's sons of God. That's the mistake on their part. Go ahead. Yeah.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of bondage, of spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are
children of God.
Children of God. Okay, there we go. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Again, it says, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. Okay, for I consider
he's talking about sacrificing the flesh here, getting rid of the flesh. Go ahead.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which will be revealed towards us. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed.
For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us.
That sounds better.
That
sounds better. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Is that the Lord subjected creation to vanity because of the fall? that what that means?
I think it means that when Adam, who had been given the earth under his authority to take care of it, when he fell, the earth fell under his authority. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I think it fell under vanity, you know, their vainness from the fall, but that leaves us hope in Christ. It's subject to the same hope we have to be brought out of this this vanity, this corruption.
Rick 21, it'll tell you.
What was it calling? It was God that subjected the earth to the creation to vanity.
I don't think it's from the fall.
Well, it's because of the fall, but it was God who pronounced the curse.
Oh, okay.
You see?
I see.
So it's because of the fall. Definitely that was the cause of it all, but it was done by God because of the fall.
Or God's judgment.
Yes.
Okay, we'll go on to 8:21. That the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of decay into the liberty of the glory of the children of God.
It can't be delivered except at the word of God.
We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows what is on the Spirit's mind, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. I think it's a better translation to the ESV. How's the ASV go? Do it.
Well, the ASV adds in the will of God. It's an add-in.
Okay. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. Who he justified, those he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Who could bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Could oppression or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even as written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers or principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything other thing created, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. So when we become that Son of God, we will bring creation back to its original form.
That's the ultimate what we're going to see happen. The sons of God will bring everything back in alignment with Christ, of course, inside of us, with God's power.
Absolutely. That's what we'll be. We'll be Christ. Michael's going to be dead. Dave's going to be dead. Andrew's going to be dead. Missy's going to be dead. You're going to be dead, Missy. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew. What'd you have?
No, I was just saying it was going to be like the 78th from Adam, because Jesus was 77, but we're second from Jesus.
Amen.
That's out of Luke. I think it's chapter 3.
Yeah. Okay.
It says the lineage there. So it's a real easy family tree. It's Jesus, then you.
That's it, man. It's not a whole bunch of branches, are there? Amen. Okay, it's good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right, that's our. We've got our assignments. We read that chapter and try to tie some scriptures to it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me see. Get caught up here on. Can you note the Bible again? It's that black book, Pat. It's a black book about this big, about that thick. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for these men that have brought these parables together for us. And it just kind of walks us through it in a way that is interesting and exciting to know where we came from, bringing us into the realm of that Son of God. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you for keeping us on that road. Keep us reaching for that clear and stream of water to hunger for it, Lord, to thirst for it. Put that thirst in us, Lord, to do that. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Lord, we thank you for protecting our president tonight while he's in Dallas. And also, Lord, we ask that you protect his family, too. His family has even been has been threatened. And Father, we just thank you that you're going to do that. And I ask, Father, that you expose all of these evil people and their works in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that we're all going to be seeking you more, getting closer to you, getting rid of ourself, and allow Jesus to come alive in us. So that every morning we get up and we seek you, Lord, and ask for that infilling of your Holy Spirit for the day, and that when we walk out of our house, we look in the mirror before we walk out and we see you, and we just declare, there goes Jesus. Thank you, Father, for putting faith in us to believe it too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom to talk to the people that we run into during the day and to have a lot of grace in our talking to them. And a lot of mercy in our talk, Lord. That we would talk just like you did, Lord, and we would love people no matter what. That our hearts would be melted and molded into your heart, Lord. And we thank you for that. Give us that meek, humble attitude, Lord. It's a servant's heart. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us Saturday night, too, in Jesus' name. All right. Praise God. Anybody got anything before we get out? But all right, let me get y'all unmuted here. Good night, y'all. Bless you.